So importance of laundry and linen department in the hospital is to prevent the acquired infection due to stay in the hospital. And acquired infection in the hospital is known as nosocomial infection. So main aim is to decrease the hospital acquired infection to make the ward look more cheerful and aesthetic. Means the ward should look more neat and clean and appealing appearance to the patient and relative, so that it creates a good psychological impact on the patient's mind and the relatives of the patient, and create a good image of the hospital in the market. Now, hospital ambulance service. One of the important non-medical service in the hospital is hospital ambulance service. The hospital ambulance service is also known as hospital on wheels or intensive care unit on wheels, because it is meant to give the life supporting treatment or life caring treatment while the patient is being transferred. The dimensions are according to the international standard, means what should be an ideal dimension of the ambulance. The ideal dimension of the ambulance is that it should be 116 inches in length. The height of the ambulance, that is from the floor of the ambulance to the ceiling of the ambulance, should be 69 inches high. Then there should be space of 25 inches unobstructed area at the head end of the patient, so that you can do any type of maneuver if you want to carry out at the head end of the patient. And there should be clear space of 12 inches on either side of the patient to carry out the different procedure while patient is being transferred in the ambulance. That is known as resuscitative maneuver, such as giving CPR, that is cardiopulmonary resuscitation, monitoring the vital parameters such as pulse, blood pressure, looking for papillary reflex, looking for rate of breathing, etc., doing suction, particularly from the endotracheal tube if the tracheostomy has been done, during the transportation of the patient from one place to another, which may be intramural transfer or extramural transfer. Planning of number of ambulance required and the staffing of ambulance service. The number of the ambulance required in the hospital depends upon the number of the bed the hospital is having. A hospital of 250 to 300 bed will require an ambulance of 3 if the catchment area of the hospital is 6 to 8 kilometer. The catchment area of the hospital means the adjoining area from which the patient comes and take treatment in the hospital. For example, the catchment area of Sion Hospital is very large as compared to the catchment area of Parel, that is KM Hospital located in Parel of Mumbai city. This is because Parel is located in the heart of Mumbai, so it is heavily crowded, so people come from very small distance and take the treatment in the particular hospital, whereas Sion is located in the peripheral part of Mumbai, so many people from far-flung area such as Ghatkopar, Vikhroli, or it may be from Kudla, come to the Sion Hospital to take the treatment. So catchment area increases, and since more is the catchment area, more will be the transportation of the patient from the home to the hospital. That is why if the hospital is more bedded, or if the hospital is having the large catchment area, more ambulance is required. Now, what are the different ways by which the hospital uses the ambulance service? The hospital uses the ambulance service for intramural transport. The intramural transport may be within the group of the same hospital. Like JJ is JJ group of hospital. Therefore, patient may be transferred from JJ main hospital to Gokul Das Tejpal Hospital. Patient from JJ hospital may be transferred to St. George's Hospital. Patient from JJ hospital may be transferred to Kama female or maternity hospital. So this type of transport within the hospital services is known as intramural transport. For example, a patient may be transferred from one hospital to another to do the specific test. For example, CT scan, MRI may not be available in the peripheral hospital. So the patients are referred from the peripheral hospital into the main hospital to do the test, and after the test is over, the patient is transferred back to the peripheral hospital. So this type of transport or transfer of the patient within the different hospital attached to the main hospital is known as intramural transport. Extramural transport means the transport of the patient, which are usually referred patient from one hospital to another hospital, which is not the main branch, which is not the branch of the main hospital, is known as extramural transport. For example, if the patient is transferred from peripheral health center to suppose JJ Hospital in Mumbai, then it means extramural transport because the patient has to cover long distance. These two hospitals are not directly linked with each other. Sometimes the patients are transferred because the case may be complicated, requiring specific treatment, specific investigation. Sometimes the transfer may be from government hospital to private corporate hospital, like transport of the patient from JJ Group of Hospital to suppose Kokilaben Dhirubhai Ambani Hospital, in which JJ is a government hospital, whereas Kokilaben Dhirubhai Ambani Hospital is the corporate hospital run by private party. Therefore, this type of transport is known as extramural transport. Ambulance is also reserved in the case of disaster where SOS call is sent. The word SOS stands for Save Us Soul. It is an emergency call which is given for the ambulance to transfer the patient from the site of the accident to the site of definitive treatment. Ambulance is usually run by ambulance driver, and for three ambulance which the hospital is having, it requires six drivers for 24-hour shift, and these 24-hour shift pattern for the six drivers are adjusted in the two ambulance service, so that all ambulance, that is two ambulance, are in the serviceable condition throughout day and night for the use of patient and hospital. So in this way, the planning of the number of ambulance required and staffing of the ambulance is important. Now, what are the equipments which are required to be carried in the ambulance? First of all, the ambulance should be well equipped with the doctor and staff nurses trained in giving basic life support and advanced life support. Then there should be provision of oxygen cylinder with the mask, so that when the patient becomes suffocated, choked, at that time it can be delivered. There should be provision to supply oxygen by means of Ambu bag, mostly in the pediatric age group patient. Then there should be instrument to give the resuscitative care, that is the care which is given in the emergency patient, like the instrument to perform tracheostomy, which is the emergency procedure in which opening is made in the neck of the patient, so that the additional maneuver like feeding, respiration, etc. can be performed. But this tracheostomy procedure will require a specific skill, aseptic precaution, and also a specific instrument which can be also performed while the patient is being transferred. There should be provision to set up an IV line, so there should be provision for IV cannula, IV stand, IV drip set, and also IV saline material like 25% dextrose, Ringer lactate, 5% dextrose, normal saline, etc. There should be provision of AED machine, that is automated external defibrillator, to give DC shock and correct the ventricular arrhythmia, tongue depressor to open the mouth of the patient, especially if the patient is suffocating and there is increased chance of tongue bite. Then there should be provision of portable ECG to monitor the cardiac status of the patient and pulse oximeter to know the vitals of the patient. Then there should be provision of life-saving drugs which can be injected as and when required. It is very difficult to mention all the drugs, but few drugs which is required are injection Dexona, injection adrenaline, Deriphyline, Xylocaine, anti-snake venom, injection Reflin, injection dopamine along with the IV drip set. Then there should be provision for the stretcher for the patient to lie down with adequate spacing around the head end, that is the cephalic end and the leg end of the patient, as well as the space on either side of the patient with the proper sitting arrangement for the patient relative, doctors and medical staff. The medical staff which are accompanied with the ambulance is trained medical staff giving the basic and advanced life support, such as medical doctor, staff nurses, ward boy or helper, who are very important in transferring the patient or following the command of doctors and staff nurses, and also making the patient lie down in the proper position. Equipment planning for the ambulance facility. Equipment planning for the ambulance facility require mobile emergency unit with special training, because it is a type of emergency services which has to be given in the ambulance. The specialized service may be oxygen cylinder, AMBU bag, AED, pulse oximeter, which I have explained before. Also, there should be provision of life-saving equipment with the provision of fire extinguisher, which can take place when the untoward event like outbreak of the fire in the patient during the patient transfer, or there should be provision of ice box to maintain the cold chain, especially the different type of vaccine, anti-snake venom, which require the proper temperature to be maintained, and they are to be required to be carried along with the transfer of the patient. Now, the another non-medical services which are very important from the patient management point of view and in the prospect of the hospital is biomedical waste management. What is biomedical waste? Biomedical waste is defined as the waste generated during the diagnosis, treatment of human being while admitted in the hospital, or different type of material which are generated while carrying out the different procedures in the hospital, like dressing or doing operation or doing biological test or doing the research related activities. These biomedical waste is considered to be a special type of waste because they are potential source of infection. Therefore, these wastes are classified into hazardous biomedical waste, then non-hazardous biomedical waste, and in hazardous biomedical waste, there is potentially infectious and hazardous biomedical waste. The non-hazardous biomedical waste which is generated in the hospital is leftover food of the patient. Like patient is served food, but he may not eat the food. So whatever is the remnant food, it has to be discarded properly, because the food is used by the patient, though therefore it is special type of food. Moreover, few patients are very infective in nature, like typhoid patient, gastroenteritis patient, malarial patient, diabetic patient, etc., where the food disposal is very important, because if they are not disposed properly, they may be source of spreading the insect, rodenticide, etc., which may further lead to the spread of disease. Then the proper disposal of different type of wrappers used with the food, like aluminium foils, paper sheet, etc., proper disposal of the fruit peel, then proper disposal of the leftover water. The non-hazardous waste is also the waste which is generated during sweeping and mopping of the hospital ward, corridors, casualty, etc. That is part of housekeeping department. Then hazardous waste is classified as potentially infectious hazardous waste, which is full of contaminated material and they serve as potential source of spreading infection, like fecal matter of the patient, that is contaminated fecal pan, then the used urinal pan, then the used sputum mug, then different type of laboratory slides which are used in the patient disease diagnosis, then different type of operative material, particularly the specimen removed during surgery, then the pulse, then the septic focus removed, dressing material, etc. Then potential toxic waste. The potential toxic waste is those waste which are not only hazardous but also carries the possibility of causing the toxicity because of the heavy metals or because of the radioactive metals. These may be the radioactive waste generated in the radiological department, like development of the radiographic film, then during treatment of radiotherapy for cancer patient, then genotoxic waste which has got special propensity to affect the genes of the patient, that is the chromosomal linkage of the patient, giving rise to different type of abnormal mutation and different type of deletion or ablation of the chromosome. So this type of toxic waste should also be considered. Then potentially infected materials are those materials generated from space, generated from research related activities, like research which is done on the animal model, research which is done on the blood sample, different type of culture media, different type of agar which is used for the growth of microorganism, like blood heart agar, Sabrod agar, etc. Then pharmacological waste which is generated by the hospital pharmacy, because doctor can only practice well when the drug given to the patient are effective. So lot of pharmaceutical waste is generated during the treatment of the patient. This pharmaceutical waste is the drug which has lost its potency and expired, that the expiry drug. Few drugs are thrown because of the loose fitting, because of the hygroscopic nature, they absorb the water and therefore they swells, and therefore they are not useful for the patient use, particularly in the rainy season. So all these materials draw special attentions for their disposal. Now, government has made environmental legislation to make the rule very effective, and this type of legislation is very important, because if this toxic waste are thrown into the environment, then they may cause lot of environmental hazardous effect, like air pollution, water pollution, soil pollution, etc. So in very short, the different environmental legislation related to the disposal of biomedical waste is Air Pollution Prevention and Control Act, which was passed in 1981, because by implying this, the chances of the air getting contaminated with the different type of biomedical waste can be reduced. Then is the Environmental Protection Act 1986. So it gives protection to the environment as whole, which may be saline environment, which may be air quality environment, which may be the environment of the food related environment, etc. So Environment Protection Act 1986, the Hazardous Waste Management and Handling Rule 1989. So it was modified further as Biomedical Waste Management and Ruling and Handling Rules, which was passed in 1998, and this is the core rule which govern the scientific disposal of biomedical waste, creating less problem to the human being, less problem to the environment, less problem to the air, soil and water. Then the Municipal Solid Waste Management and Handling Rule 2000, which is very important in metro cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Calcutta, Chandigarh, Chennai, etc., which is very vast, having heavy density of population, and if the waste is not properly discharged, then this type of waste may create lot of health hazard problem. And recently you must have read about the radiological waste disposed by research center attached to Delhi University, which has caused lot of environmental pollution because of the free leakage of the environment by radioactivity released from the garbage, which was full with the contaminated radioactive waste, which was not disposed properly. Then the biomedical management and handling rule was passed on 20th July 1998 and it is under the jurisdiction of Ministry of Environment and Forest through the notification. Now, what are the basic contents of biomedical waste management and ruling, management and handling rule 1998? So in this, the most important is the principle and applicability. First, biomedical waste management and handling rule applies to all hospital setup, nursing home or healthcare organization which is concerned with the generation of biomedical waste, which may be during the treatment of the patient, research activity or laboratory investigation, then the proper collection of this biomedical waste, then proper segregation and disposal and storage of biomedical waste, then transportation of biomedical waste from the source where it is generated to the area outside the hospital, then giving the proper treatment of biomedical waste, that is the proper disposal of biomedical waste, so that it does not create any health hazard to the environment in the form of air pollution, noise pollution or biohazard in the form of radioactive activity or in the form of radiation hazard or in the form of spread of different disease because of the contamination of the water, like acute gastroenteritis, poliomyelitis, typhoid, etc. So proper disposal and treatment of the waste is also very important when the biomedical waste is generated and discharged. Categorization of biomedical waste. Biomedical waste is divided into different categories. Category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Category 1 includes the human anatomical waste. This type of waste may be the dead tissue, the removed tissue during surgical operation, like enucleated eyeball, and this has to be disposed by incineration or deep burial. Category 2 is biomedical waste, which is mostly the animal waste generated in the animal house, mainly during research activity, and it has to be disposed by incineration or deep burial. Then category 3 is the biomedical waste generated in the laboratories as well as pathological investigation, that is microbiology and biotechnology waste, and this has to be disposed of by local autoclaving, microwaving or incineration. Then category 4, biomedical waste are usually the used needle, syringes, lancet, IV set, that is waste shard, which has to be disposed after disinfecting with the chemical or burning it, that incineration or mutilation or shredding. Then category 5 is discarded medicine and cytotoxic drug, which has to be disposed by mostly sanitary landfill or by incineration. Then other categories of biomedical waste is category 6, which is solid waste generated during the patient treatment, and they has to be disposed by incineration, autoclaving and microwaving. Category 7 is disinfected biomedical waste, which has to be removed by autoclaving, microwaving or shredding. Category 8 is liquid waste, which has to be disposed by chemical treatment, and after chemical treatment they can be discharged in the sewage or drain of the hospital, which should be usually covered. Then category 9 is incineration ash, which is usually generated by burning of the different dressing material, clothing, different type of pharmaceutical product, etc., and these has to be disposed by sanitary landfill. Category 10 is chemical waste, which is generated during the treatment of the patient, like laboratory reagent, then radiological developing film material, etc., which has to be disposed by chemical treatment and sanitary landfill. Now, in this way, the categorization and broad way discipline of disposing the biomedical waste is important. Now, biomedical waste which is generated in the ward has to be disposed at that particular site by different type of colored bags. The yellow plastic bag usually disposes the category 1, 2, 3 and 6 type of biomedical waste which I have explained before. The red color bag or red colored container bag made of plastic are used for category 3, 6 and 7 type of biomedical waste. The blue oblique white translucent bag which is puncture proof is usually used for disposal of sharp waste like used needle, used lancet, used IV line, etc. And it is puncture proof because while disposal, that is while transporting and disposing of, it should not give accidental prick to the work, to the hand, to the persons who are involved with this, like sweepers, ward boys, etc. And black colored plastic bag which are mainly used for disposal of category 5, category 9 and category 10 type of biomedical waste. This is a colored picture showing the different type of biomedical waste which are disposed in different colored bags. The SARP is usually disposed in the transparent bag so that you can know what is inside, and this is usually the lancet, used needle, etc. It is usually puncture proof. Category yellow type of bag is usually used for disposed of removed tissues during surgery, during biopsy and anatomical waste generated in the research. Then category red, this bag is red color and used for removing the hand gloves, then is IV line bottles, then is the different type of catheter, used syringes, that is mutilated and disinfected plastic waste. And green color bag is used for disposal of general waste like different type of papers, eateries, different type of housekeeping waste which is generated while cleaning the ward. And in this way, by using the different color code, you can segregate and dispose the biomedical waste generated in the ward at the point of generation. Now, one of the important methods of disposal of biomedical waste is autoclaving. What is autoclaving? Autoclaving means heating under pressure. It uses saturated steam under pressure and at the required temperature so that it is enough to kill all the type of bacteria including bacterial spores. Usually there are two type of autoclave: operating gravity flow autoclave and vacuum autoclave. The standards of gravity flow autoclave is that we have to define the standards in the term of temperature, pressure and residence time. The temperature is usually defined in the term of degree centigrade. The pressure is defined as pressure per square inch and residence time is described in minute. So if the temperature is maintained at 120 degrees centigrade and pressure is maintained at 15 psi, that is pressure per square inch, the holding time, that is the time for which this pressure and temperature has to be maintained to produce the bactericidal effect, killing the spores, is 60 minutes. Now if the temperature is raised to 135 degrees centigrade and pressure is maintained to pressure is maintained at 31 pounds per square inch, the resident time will be only 45 minutes. When the temperature is increased to 141 degree centigrade, pressure is maintained at 52 degree pounds per square inch, the holding time to maintain the bactericidal action is 30 minutes. So in this way you can see that when the temperature is less, pressure is less, holding time to produce bactericidal effect is high. But when the temperature increases and pressure increases the holding time or residence time to produce the bactericidal effect, that is killing effect of bacteria, including spores, will become less. So modern approach is to increase the temperature, to increase the pressure, so that it reduces the holding time and produces faster result and do more autoclaving. Now, another technique of disposal of biomedical waste is incinerator or incineration. Incineration usually done by the equipment which is known as incinerator. The operating standard of incinerator is that it should have the combustion efficiency of 99.9%. It has got the two type of chamber, primary chamber and secondary chamber. Primary chamber should maintain the temperature of 800 degrees centigrade with plus or minus 50 degrees centigrade, whereas secondary chamber is maintained at a temperature of 150 degrees centigrade per plus or minus 50 degrees centigrade with a minimum oxygen level of 3%. Now, whenever the incineration occurs, it usually generates lot of gas, and this gas has to be released. Or when this gas passes into the environment, there is certain guideline which shows the concentration of different type of gas or gaseous material which can pass into the environment. The different type of emission standards of incineration is particulate matter. Particulate matter should not be more than 100 milligram per nanometer cube of the surface area of the gas released. Nitrogen oxide should not be more than 400 milligram per nanometer cube of the airspace which is released. Hydrogen chloride should not be more than 50 milligram per nanometer cube of the gas released. The minimum stake height should be up to 30 meter. Volatile organic compound in the space should not be more than 0.01%. Microwaving. Microwaving is another method of disposal of biomedical waste. So microwaving is a form of irradiation that increases the moisture content by 10%, and after increasing the temperature, the ground or moist ground waste is then heated by exposure to 6 micro irradiation for 2 hours so that the temperature increases up to 90%. That is, initially it increases the moisture content by 10%, then when the heat is generated, because then there is exposure to 6 microwave irradiation for 2 hours and thus allow the temperature to raise from the baseline more than 90%. So increased temperature is used to kill the microorganism. The microwave treatment should not be used for cytotoxic, hazardous, radioactive waste, particularly impregnated with the chlorine, contaminated animal carcasses, body part of the human beings, and large metal items.